Well, good morning.
Good morning.
What's that wet stuff that's been draining from the skies? We don't see a lot of that. It's been awesome. As Billy prayed earlier, we just wanted just a little break this evening. Just a little break, and then you can bring the rain back. We always need rain. Glad that you are here with us this morning. These are exciting times. I don't know if you're quite getting that yet, but these are exciting times for our city, I believe for our church, for our nation. So I hope that you'll be a part of the stuff that's going on tonight and this week. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. If you are visiting with us this morning, first, let me just say this. I don't know how, you may not like the preaching, you may not like anything else, but you got to like those children, huh? I mean, all those children, that blesses me every week to see all the kids. But if you are visiting with us this morning, we are especially glad that you're here, and I really hope you feel Christ's presence, the Holy Spirit's presence. I hope you feel the love of His people in this place. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. I invite you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love to know you were here. You can, if you want to be on our email list, you can check the box there and put your email down, check the box that you'd like to be added to that. We also have an app, Wiley Methodist app, that you can get that keeps you informed of what's going on. You can, at the end of the service, you can leave those cards in your seat, but I would really love to meet you. I will be out in the foyer at the end of the service. To meet anyone that is maybe visiting, have a free gift for you, and love for you to come and meet me. Also, just keep those registration pads going. As Billy said, keep them going down the end of your aisle. That helps us to hopefully be able to love you better. Mark chapter 5. You know, a little Bible history here. They believe that as these Gospels are dated, they believe that Mark was the first Gospel to be penned. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. We, by the way, and some of y'all went with us in 2010. Several of us went to the Holy Land, and we got to ride a boat out on the Sea of Galilee, which is really the Lake of Galilee, but translation issues. But as we were going around, I remember our guide pointing to a row of cliffs over on one side of the lake, and he said, "This is where we believe that this passage we're fixing to read, this is where we believe it happened, because this is the only place where the cliffs actually come up to the side of the lake." So, Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. Now notice, they couldn't bind him anymore, which means they had been binding him. This guy was so crazy. They had been binding him, for he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. This is a crazy man. Things are going on here. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" Now, I love that because it tells me that demons know who Jesus is. They recognize his authority. They recognize this is the King of Kings. And so they're already, Jesus hadn't even said a word. They're already pleading with him for mercy. They shouted at the top of the voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? Swear to God that you won't torture me." Jesus had the ability and the power to torture them. For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." So in other words, several demons had possessed this man. Now, I don't want to get off on a tangent here, and I don't scare anybody, but do we think demonic possession only happened in Jesus' day? No. We think, like, somehow that doesn't happen anymore? We need to, guys, wake up. We need to wake up. My name is Legion, replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them. He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Don't you love it? I think Jesus has even got a sense of humor. It's like, yeah, okay, I'll cast you into the pigs. And like, here they go, doing a little cliff diving. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, hello, dressed and in his right mind. When Jesus shows up, things happen, church. And they were afraid. Some people respond to that with fear. Those who had seen it, I don't know about you, but I'm hanging tight to Jesus. I may be afraid, but I'm like, come, all right, let me hang out with you, Jesus. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Does that not boggle your mind? I'm wanting him to stay. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed, this is the man who was impacted by it all, begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him go, but said, go home to your family. Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, I know you're here because you promised to be here. We have invited you. We desire your presence. So, Holy Spirit, speak to us in power and authority. Change us, and may your name be lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 weeks ago, I don't know if you were here or remember, but we had a children's sermon, and Carlene, it had the tags for the kids' backpacks as they started school. And it said, I don't even remember exactly what it said, but something about, it was a scripture or something about Jesus is with you and so forth. And there's little tags, and she we've done this for several years. She gave these little tags or crosses sometimes we've given, and she said, put these on your backpack, and remember, when you go into school, Jesus goes with you. And she said, this year, we're giving you two of these little tags. Anybody remember? 2 weeks ago we had this. We're giving you two of these tags, and we would like for you to put one on your backpack, and then we want you to share this other tag with a friend. And now I don't know which child said this, and please, if it was yours, please don't. I'm not shaming your child or anything, because children are children. But I remember one of the kids spoke up and said, I have two backpacks. I have two backpacks. And I remember thinking right there, I leaned over to Cheryl and I said, that'll preach. Because we have this gift of Jesus, and sometimes we don't want to share it. It's like, I got two backpacks. How many of us have two backpacks? Not enough tags, Jesus tags, to go around, because I got two backpacks. Now, I'm not here to shame you today, but I hope that we will be convicted, and I hope that we'll be inspired, because I am overwhelmed at the goodness of God that he would entrust the gospel to me and you. Do you feel that way? I mean, the good news of the gospel of Jesus, he would entrust that to us. Last night, and Wesley's going to come up here in just a minute, and I'm going to introduce him when he does, but I went, and Wesley spoke last night at the service at New Hope, and he spoke out of 2 Corinthians 5, where it proclaims that we are Christ's ambassadors, and I know y'all have heard me say that many times, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. We have been reconciled to God, and now he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We have this gift. Now, I read this a couple of years ago. I don't know if any of y'all have heard of Penn and what's the other guy's name? Penn and Jillette? Keller. Teller. Penn and Teller. Okay, sorry. Penn and Teller. They're a magician team. And Penn Jillette is the big guy in the team, and he's an atheist. And he tells this story. He videotaped this story and posted it online. You can probably find it. But he talks about at the end of one of his concerts, one of their shows, that this Gideon, we got some Gideons in the house. Raise your hand if you're a Gideon. Several Gideons in our church. And we got this Gideon came at the end of his show, and he presented him with a Bible, and he began to share the gospel to this atheist magician guy. And here's what, and Penn Jillette, to my knowledge today, is still an atheist, but here's what he said, and I find this so interesting and should be convicting to us. And here's what he said. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell, and that people could be going to hell, and you think that it's not really worth telling them this because it could be socially awkward. Hello. Anybody ever been there? I don't want to come on too strong with this Jesus stuff. They might think I'm weird or something. And you think it's not really worth telling them because it could be socially awkward. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? This is the words of an atheist. He understood. He may not have accepted Christ yet, but he understands that to not share the good news of Jesus Christ is to hate someone. Man, that convicts me. That convicts me. We tend to be consumers of the gospel instead of sharers of the gospel. Well, I was going to just kind of do this as an illustration, but I'll just tell you what I was going to do. I was going to, I want you to think about the people in your life that don't know the Lord, just people at work, people in your family, friends, neighbors, whoever, people that you know just don't know the Lord. And we could pass around a clipboard and go ahead and write the names of those people that don't deserve to hear the good news of Jesus. Let's go ahead and eliminate them off the bat so that we don't have to bother, don't have to bother with the time it would take to share it with them. Let's go ahead and write their names down, make a list. You see what I'm saying? It's like, no, we all deserve to hear the good news of Jesus. Jesus died for all. For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. And that's the message that we have before us. I believe that there are some obstacles, several obstacles, but two of the most, maybe just the greatest obstacles to sharing the gospel is fear or just contentment. It's like, I'm good. I've done this before in a sermon. You know, we got our ticket to heaven. We put it in our pocket. We put it in our purse. We put it in our wallet. It's like, I'm good. I got my ticket. No, that's not the gospel at all. So I want us to unpack this scripture a little bit today, and I'm gonna move pretty quickly because I want to give Wesley a chance to share at the end of my comments here this morning. First of all, this text today teaches us that people are hurting. I mean, we are surrounded by people hurting. Jesus gets out of the boat, and a man with an evil spirit came up to him, and he sees this man that's been in chains, and he's living out in the fields, and and the people are scared to death of him, and he's just hurting, and people don't even know what to do with him. And I've shared this before, but I remember two or three weeks after my brother was killed, being out at his place, and I'm looking around, and I was hurting. Our family was hurting from the loss of Jay, and I remember that God just spoke to my heart, and he said, what you're feeling right now, this hurt, this woundedness, this brokenness that you're feeling right now, people are feeling stuff like that everywhere. There's hurting people everywhere. And we had the hope of Christ in that moment. The ones who don't have Christ, what do they have? They have no hope. But we have hope to share with them. People are hurting. Secondly, this text teaches us that Jesus heals. Jesus is the answer. Say his name with me on three. Say it. 1, 2, 3. Jesus. That's the answer. We have it. I mean, Jesus, I just tell you, he is such a good God. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed in his right mind. Can you imagine the gratefulness that welled up in this man who had been possessed by demons and he'd been cutting himself? I remember this was a couple of years ago. I was actually at Office Depot and I was in line checking out. And I remember this girl that was right in front of me, this young lady, and she was checking out and she had short sleeves on. And I remember seeing on her wrist cuts. You heard of people cutting themselves? It's like, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's like, man, we sometimes, you know, I think I'm not a psychologist or anything, but I think when people are doing it, it's like, I just don't know what else to do. I'm hurting. I don't know what else to do. I'm trying to somehow, you know, get rid of this pain. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the healer. I know in my own life that Jesus has taken me in my brokenness, and he just loves me. He didn't come to this world to wag his finger at me and scold me for being a sinner. He came and he died so that I can have life and so that you can have life. So that, I mean, and we see this with this man. I was also reminded of the scripture of the where Jesus healed the 10 lepers. You remember that scripture? The lepers came and they cried out to Jesus. They said, "Have mercy on me, Son of God. Have mercy on me." And they all cried that out, and he healed them. And they went away, and one of the 10 came back and thanked Jesus. And Jesus said, "Wasn't there 10 of y'all? Wasn't there 10 of y'all?" And only one returned to say thank you. I mean, man, when you've been healed indeed. And I think we recognize that, and we want to share that. We want to, you know, our testimony comes from a thankfulness of what God has done for us and wanting other people. You know, I know this is on a much lower scale, but you ever see a great movie or go to a great new restaurant and you just want to tell people, it's like, man, you need to go try this new restaurant. It's just awesome. Because you tell your friends that and stuff. Man, I tell you what, Jesus beats a new restaurant any day of the week. And thirdly, this text teaches us that Jesus commissions us. That's a little softer word than commands, but he actually commands. The great commandment, we're going to talk about that a little bit more next week. The great commandment. Jesus commissions us to go and tell. This man who had been healed, he just wanted to hang out with Jesus and be with Jesus, this man who had healed him, this God who had healed him. And Jesus says, no. Go home and tell your family what I've done for you and how the Lord has had mercy on you. I want to play a short video. We've got Revive Texas going on. If you're with Revive Texas this morning, several of you are here. I know Wesley and your family's here, and I know there's at least one or two others. Stand up just for a second. Let us recognize you if you're with Revive Texas. Woohoo! All right. And there, y'all brought how many with you? Like 50 or 60 people with you? They came from all over the place. I want to play this short video, and then I'm going to ask Wesley to come up and share his heart about this whole topic and about Revive Texas.
Watch MCA Revive Texas is here at our campus during Pride. Report to room 102 with Coach Hughes.
Okay, on this little Bible, some of you have the bracelets, you got some colors. Just listen to me. I'm going to walk through this, and I believe it's going to change your life. Can believe that he died for us. Jesus says, "I forgive you." So, blue is faith. If you want to take a step of faith today and you've never done that before, just raise your hand. If you've never done that before, but you want to today, just raise your hand. Okay? So here's what we need. Okay? If you just raised your hand and said that, if you just made him Lord, I need you to get a marker, write your name on the board, and what grade you're in.
You put your finger on number one, you'll open it up.
For all who have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
How many of you guys know what sin is?
Oh, yeah.
We all do, right? Do you guys agree everyone has sin?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You guys, okay. All right, so yellow on your bracelet represents sin.
Of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus, in Christ Jesus our Lord.
For the wages of sin, like the weight, the cost of your sin could lead to death, and you could accept the free gift, which is forgiveness for eternal life, so you could live on from Jesus Lord Christ.
That's it. Sin, black. Okay, bad news. Let's get to some good news. Going to the field house. I'm going to try to share the gospel with some of the high school kids now.
How many people sins?
Yeah, that's good. At least you're honest, right? We all do, right? I raise my hand. We have sin in our lives. So everybody look at the color yellow.
But God demonstrates his own love toward us.
And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
He's not doing it because we did something good. He's doing it because he's good.
Right where I'm at. That's where he found me.
According to this verse, it's God waiting for you to get your act together, your stuff together. No. In the midst of your sin, he died for you.
God demonstrated his love. He showed you. He sent Jesus to die for you, take the place.
For the grace you have been saved through faith.
You'll never be able to make things right on your own. It's by faith. So by grace, you've been saved through faith. So through faith, things are made right. You have to accept what Jesus did for you. It's saying, Jesus, though I wasn't there the day you died for me, I believe you wiped my slate clean.
Anybody want to make a decision to follow Jesus today? Just lift your hand. Amen.
Take a step of faith, but you've never done that before, but you want to today, you want to put Jesus in charge of your life, just raise your hand. Anybody here? Okay, Billy? Anybody else? Hector, right?
Oscar.
We're not getting his name right.
Oscar. When I was talking about making Lord, you're like, I haven't done that.
I've never done that.
So today's a step of faith, and so
Jesus,
be Lord.
Be Lord
of my life.
Of my life.
From this day forward.
From this day forward. And I accept righteousness.
Amen.
Amen.
So we just want to pray for you real quick, okay? Because the presence of the Lord, the gospel has been proclaimed in this place, and may the peace of the Lord rest upon this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Five or ten minutes is fine.
Sorry, guys. But, what did you notice in that video? Now, by the way, you already know that probably. That's Pecos, Texas. Pecos, Texas is halfway in the middle of nowhere. We've also been to Kermit. That's really in the middle of nowhere. All right? But what did you see? Here's what I know. You've been lied to. You've been told that you can't share the gospel. I'm here to tell you, and I got tons of videos to prove it, you can. That was Crockett Middle School, public high school during the middle of the day. They made an announcement over the intercom. Hey, Revive Texas is in room so-and-so. There was 126 kids showed up in one schoolroom. We couldn't stand. There was so many people, it was like, amen. We shared the gospel. Right over 100 kids took a step of faith. And you may say, well, I don't know. I've been to tons of schools, and I've never seen 100 kids take a step of faith. But that day, God showed up in a middle school, and 100 kids took a step of faith. Why? Because somebody took a step of faith and said, hey, why don't y'all come into my classroom and share the gospel with my students? And you also saw an oil change place, right? How many people have ever had your oil changed? How many times you ever thought you could share the gospel in the oil change place? You can. The owner of that oil change place owns King's RV Camp in Pecos, Texas. We went there and shared the gospel. And he says, well, hey, why don't you guys come to my business in the morning? So he paid his guys an hour. He brought them in early. He fed them donuts and he put them on the clock. And we shared the gospel. Two people took a step of faith. We've been lied to as the body of Christ that you can't do this. I can show you videos as public school. We went into, you guys know East Texas, Clarksville, Bogota, Texas. We went into a public high school. That was FCA. This time it wasn't FCA. It was a coach, team sports. He called all his students in and said, hey, we're not going to do sports today. We got a guest speaker. So all the high school boys we got to share the gospel with. And some guys took steps of faith, and it so moved the coach's heart. He said, can y'all come back tomorrow, third period? I'll have all my 7th and 8th grade girls. Yes, sir, we'll be back. We show up next time, third period, 7th and 8th grade boys and girls. He says, hey, we're not doing sports today. You got a guest speaker. We shared the gospel. Kids get saved. He says, man, you got to come back this afternoon, 6th period. I'll have all my high school girls. So three times we share the gospel in a day and a half in public high school, and you've told you can't do that. We do it all the time. Here's what happens. You've got to take a step of faith. We've been into auto dealerships. We went into the Chevrolet dealership in Pecos, Texas. I'd been talking all week about going into businesses, and nobody was hearing me. Finally, our baptism truck broke down. So guess what I had to do? Call the Chevrolet guy. And then I found out the owner of the Chevrolet place was married to the pastor of the Presbyterian church. And I'm like, come on. He's like, sure, come in and share with my salesman. I'm like, all right. So we go in on a Saturday morning. The service guys are also, I just get to share with the salesman. We're in the back room. I'm sharing the gospel. And at the end, I ask people, has there ever been a time in your life where you made Jesus Lord and took a step of faith and asked him to forgive you of your sins? And I'm looking at the salesman. All of a sudden, the owner says, I've never done that before, but I think God wants me to do it today. So I led Kevin to Jesus, and he owns the Chevrolet place. Come on, is that God is moving, amen? Here's my heart. Revive Texas is in Abilene. We're not special. But I believe God honors unity. When you see Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals and Charismatics all across the board, Presbyterian, we invite everybody to the table, salvation by faith alone. We have these Bibles and bands. We go out to share the gospel, and that's what we do. Amen? We go out with you. When brothers dwell together in unity, God commands a blessing. It's not that we're special, but when everybody gets together, He blesses it. Here's my invitation, you guys. Come go with us. For the next 7 days, 6 days, we're going to go out twice a day in your community sharing the gospel. Tonight, we're going to go to Feel the Well, man, and we're asking every Christian in Abilene to come. Why wouldn't we come? You with me? Because when brothers dwell together in unity, God commands a blessing, not just on us, over the city. And after that, we're going to kick this thing off. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night could potentially go longer, but Saturday night we're supposed to close. We're going to go out twice a day sharing Jesus. You've got a schedule. Come go with us. You say, I don't know how to share the gospel. You're perfect. Come go with us. We're going to train you. We're going to teach you. We're going to show you. We're going to show you how to share the gospel, whether it's at a bus stop, whether it's at the gas pump, whether it's a grocery store, whether it's an oil change place, whether it's in a school. We'll go into any kind of environment to share the gospel, and we're not pushy. We're not offensive. We just naturally know how to share the gospel. We want to help train you. Make sense? So you just read about the Gardenian man, yes? When I read that story, my mind's boggled by those people like, man, get out of here, Jesus. Why would they do such a thing? I heard a guy say this one time. It's not mine, but I remember it when I was sitting there. The people of that city preferred the pigs over the people. You got to make up your mind. How are you going to live your life? You got a choice to make. If you prefer people over pigs, your life will be radically different. But if you prefer the pigs, what did the pigs represent? That was their livelihood. That was their 9-to-5. That was their provision. When pigs went off the cliff and they drowned and died, guess what? It hurt their checkbook. And that old messed up Gardenian man, he wasn't worth what them pigs was worth to them. So they would rather Jesus and that messed up guy that just got saved to get out of town because they didn't want him to make them uncomfortable. They didn't want it to hurt their checkbook. You take a day off work, guess what? You're going to miss some money. But here's the deal. If you're going to see Jesus move in Abilene, you've got to tie to your schedule. You've got to get uncomfortable. Jesus made everybody in that town uncomfortable to such a point they was rather him leave and they could stay where they were at. Can I tell you, it's no different today in America. We've gotten so comfortable. Jesus can show up and we'd rather him leave because we don't want him to mess up our schedule. But there's Gardenian people all over the world. And they don't look just necessarily. We're going into prison Thursday and Tuesday. I know them guys. But I also know there's tons of people even in this room, man, that need somebody speaking courage to you. Who's going to do it? Us. You got to die to your comfort encounter. But here's the deal. It's not like a burden. I get to go in places all over the country sharing Jesus. You do too. He's just made you a school teacher. He made you a postman. He made you a mechanic. He made you whatever. But you're just disguised as a missionary and they actually pay you to do it every day. All I want to do this week is I want to empower you how to win your circle. I believe with all my heart, if you'll come go with us, I can teach you and empower you how to win your circle of influence for Christ. How to win your coworkers, how to win your neighborhood. It's really easy, but you've got to make a choice. I'm asking you to make a choice. You've got to look at your calendar and you've got to figure out a way to make some room. You've got to find some margin. And then you've got to look in the mirror and they look at your comfort and think, man, this is going to be tough. How many people get really squirrely when you talk about sharing Jesus? Yeah, me too. But you know what? I love Jesus more. And I make myself share the gospel. And when I show up to share the gospel, then it gets fun. But there's times I don't want to do it because I don't like looking funny. I don't like looking weird. But here's what I've learned. I've got to die to myself so I can see people come in the kingdom of God. So I challenge y'all. You got a schedule in your bulletin. We're going to fill the well tonight. I hope it's not just with people. I hope it's with the glory of God. I promise you, Lou Engle will make you jump fences. He'll get you so fired up, you're ready to charge whatever. All right? I can promise you that. But then here's my deal. This week, come tomorrow. We're going to be here tomorrow, lunchtime. If you want to go out, come here tomorrow. Hear testimonies, eat lunch with us. We'll train you. We'll go out tomorrow afternoon. If you can't make it tomorrow, look at the schedule. Amen? My heart is this. The invitation has come out. You've got to make a decision. Are you going to come? Or are we going to make excuses? All right? I've been in the excuse camp a lot. I'm making my mind up. No more. Okay? God bless y'all. Thank you, Pastor Jeff. We'd love to have y'all come join us. Amen? Thank you, sir.
Wesley shared a story last night that about changing a tire yesterday. That blessed me, Wesley, that he ran across a man and his son who had a flat tire and it was right in the mud puddle, water puddle, and nobody wanted to get under there and change that tire. And Wesley crawled under there and got all wet and nasty. And it's like, sometimes we got to get dirty. Sometimes we got to get dirty to show the love of Christ. You know, every time I hear Wesley, I get fired up. But the encouragement, commission comes from Christ himself. Go and tell. Go and tell what I've done for you. Is there anybody in here that Christ has done something for? I think we all qualify for that. If you just bow your heads with me. Father, we admit that there are hurting people all around us, and sometimes, Father, we confess, sometimes we allow our complacency or our comfort or our fear to hold us back. Father, we ask that you'd give us courage. We ask that you would, Father, you've promised to empower us because you've received power and because we dwell in you, or because you dwell in us, we have power. So, Father, give us courage, give us power as we go out. Help us to overcome our fear, our contentment, our anxiety, our complacency. May your kingdom come in Jesus' name. Amen.